So no hunting story this year. Some of you may remember I shared with you last Christmas about how I got my first buck. But more importantly, do you remember why I shared that story with you? It was in order to talk about the importance of silence in our lives. I think one of the reasons why hunting is popular is maybe because it gives us something that we sorely lack these days. Something that we may not even consciously realize is very therapeutic to our souls, and that is silence. And 8 o'clock is a good one for silence. For some folks, pursuing silence is something that we may not feel comfortable doing on purpose. Maybe we'll even try to break silence when it comes into our life by turning on the radio in the car or listening to some music while we're getting our morning routine going. And so we get that silence that our souls need by going hunting or fishing or hiking or working out in the yard. But why is silence so important? First, it helps us clear our minds, especially now that we have, you know, the internet and these smartphones. It can be both a blessing and a curse. We are always being barraged with information overload and distractions galore. We're training ourselves, it seems, to think that life is about reacting to stuff, to stimuli, instead of being proactive and self-possessing ourselves. And much of that stimuli that we're exposed to is utterly meaningless. And the flip side to that, though, is that when we do come across something meaningful, something truly profound and potentially transformative, we end up just passing over it because life has simply become, you know, skimming and swiping through a bunch of information because of how habitual that action is. So if we're not careful, we end up failing to take any action on the things that really would be meaningful if we only committed to integrating it into our lives. So that's a part of what I shared with you last year. But this year I want to kind of build on that and take it into a different direction. You know, life can be messy. And 2018 has been messy. Just look at our political climate. It's messy. Father Brian and I were just discussing yesterday, too, how it seems like we've witnessed more tragedies in 2018 than in years past. Whether it's families in turmoil or seemingly more people passing away than in past years. I mean, we lost our director of parish operations, Andy Beal, who we shared life together with daily. So maybe it just seems like more because we're closer to them. But I've heard many confessions this last month and let me know that life has been pretty messy for a number of you as well. Many struggle with things like relationship troubles and disunity in the family, difficulties of advanced age, financial struggles, addiction, just to name a few of the ways that life can be confusing and difficult to deal with. So life is messy, yes. But Christmas, at the end of the year, thank goodness, at the end of the year, reminds us of something, or rather someone, who doesn't wait for us to clean up our act before we can have relationship with him. On Christmas, we celebrate the fact that we have a God who doesn't wait for us to have things in order. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect before he blesses us with his presence. In fact, as we gaze upon the Nativity, God has chosen to do the very opposite, hasn't he? God leaves his heavenly palace to join us in our earthly messiness. He didn't choose to be born in these pristine, you know, Pinterest perfect circumstances, but instead was born under messy circumstances. When they had to travel to Bethlehem, his parents suffered rejection from each place that they sought refuge. Mary finally has to give birth to Jesus in a cave that served as a stable with the farm animals. And in the midst of that, they find out that Herod is trying to find this baby and kill him. So instead of having the comfort of heading back home to a supportive family, they live in exile in Egypt for a while until the news of Herod's death. Even in growing up in the podunk town of Nazareth, he probably had to grow up with the ridicule of skeptics about how he was conceived. In fact, he comes from a family tree that's full of dysfunction. That was the gospel last night at the vigil, was the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. And sure, there's some heroes in there, but there were also a lot of dysfunctional dynamics going on in some of those names that the Jews would have easily recognized. So dear friends, I know, you know, Christmas can bring some folks who may not attend church very much and may not be regularly exposed to the scriptures. What is your image of God? Do you feel like he's distant and unknowable? And even if you realized God was knowable, that you could, and that you could enter into an interpersonal relationship with him, do you feel like he wouldn't want to be in relationship with you because of the messiness of your life, because of some bad choices you may have made, or and thus you think yourself unlovable? Do you feel like life is too messy for God to be a part of it? I hope not. And I want to call out the evil one in the world that tells you those lies. Christmas reveals to us the true face of God. And out of his gratuitous love for you and me, he has chosen to enter into our messiness. On this holy night, this God who, and holy morning now, I see the light coming through the stained glass. God reaches out to you. Right? And he does so as a sweet child because he wants us to know that he is approachable. God is for sure after your heart. But see, love doesn't force, it draws. He desires to draw you to himself. God for sure desires the surrender of your life to him, but he wants that surrender not to be a surrender of a soldier at war, but more like that sweet surrender of a lover to his or her beloved. And yes, God for sure desires you, even in your messiness, because he is a savior who loves to save. Why? How can he see you as lovable, even in your messiness? Because underneath all of that, he sees your true identity. He sees your true self. Even when you don't see your own true self, right? The one, he sees the one who he has seen from all eternity. The way St. John Paul the Great says it is this: we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son. Let that sink in. Because the world is always trying to sell us something, right? You know, that's the price of entertainment. We are barraged with, you know, sponsors who are always trying to tell us, sell us something. And one of the primary ways some of them try to make us think that we need their product or service is to make us think we're not good enough unless we have their product or service. But because we often listen to these voices in the world and the voice of God, we begin believing in those lies and become insecure and feel like we're not good enough unless we have this or that or experience this or that. You know, before I was a priest, I worked for General Mills in promotions. Even cereal does this. If you don't eat Cheerios, you're going to get a heart attack, right? You haven't lived unless you've tried Golden Grahams. But the truth of our identity does not lie in people who are trying to sell us something. Instead, the truth of our identity lies in the one who made us, who loves us even with all our messiness. And he reminds us, you are not the sum of your weaknesses and your failures. You are the sum of the Father's love for you and your real capacity to become the image of his Son. The truth of who we are is not the ways that we've messed up, right? The truth of who we are lies in the love of the Father and what that tells us about ourselves, that we are his beloved sons and daughters, made in the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. And in this noisy world of ours, we will not believe that about ourselves unless we allow God himself to reveal that truth to us personally. I can proclaim that truth to you until I'm blue in the face. But until you allow God to reveal that to you personally, that truth to you personally, you'll continue to believe the lies in the world and make your decisions based on those lies. So how do you allow God to reveal those truths to you personally? Well, I'm going to come full circle to the beginning of the homily when I mention to you the importance of silence. For God to reveal that liberating to you truth to you personally entails spending time, quiet time, to develop an interpersonal relationship with Him, which means receiving His divine grace here, His divine power in the sacramental life of the church, and in regularly spending time in prayerful silence. If you just skim through this fundamental truth about who we are, as if it was just another news story or another meme to swipe past, it won't sink in. If you leave this Christmas Mass without the determination of pursuing a relationship with God for you and your family, this truth of who you are will not sink in. You need to marinate in that truth. You need to soak it in, because we've been immersed in a lot of other stuff in the world that goes against that truth. So God needs you to spend time with Him and to sacrifice even good things you do in order to make that time available. It's important that you're hearing it directly from Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, lest you think your fundamental identity as a son and daughter of God is some fairy tale. If you need a place to start, begin being more faithful to coming to Mass, but not coming to Mass, but the disposition that we have in it, ready to just marinate, just to rest in that truth. Because if you view it as merely some religious obligation, then you'll be tempted to avoid it. I know I would if I viewed it that way. So I encourage you to see Mass as your guaranteed time each week to marinate in the truth of your identity. The time to begin again, right, with the week ahead. Reminded that you are not the sum of your weaknesses, your failures, your addictions. No, the messiness of life doesn't have the final say. Rather, you are the sum of the Father's love for you and the real capacity to become the image of His Son. Don't swipe past that eternal truth. Marinate yourself in it. Bathe in it as the Son reveals Himself to you in these sacred mysteries.